All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome in to Daily Faceoff Live, your go-to source for everything hockey. Live every weekday at noon Eastern.
Welcome into a playoff edition of Daily Faceoff Live, and we're thrilled to have Bet365 along as our sports betting partner for the 2024 playoffs. We'll be here with Bet365 to give you all the news, analysis, lines, and later in the show, betting options for the playoffs until just one team is left standing. Tali Remchuk, Frank Saravalli with you. We're live on the DFO YouTube, where we're looking for your hashtag AskDFO inbox questions. But Frank, it's good to be back with you.
Good to see you. Let's go. Elimination night four. Closeout games on tap in the NHL tonight. Can't wait.
Well, since the last time we would have spoken on the show, since we weren't here yesterday, two teams have already been bounced, and maybe we should start there. The Tampa Bay Lightning, they are done. The Rats were flying out in Florida as the Panthers, for a third straight year, are on their way to the second round of the playoffs. It's a 6-1 win, but that was a 2-1 hockey game until the final 8.5 minutes when the Panthers poured it on. They got a couple of empty netters. The point being, the Bolts were that close, but they fall short and they are done. Let's start with the Panthers very quickly, Frank. A team that, again, had a pretty good end-to-end regular season, couple of blips along the way. No doubt they were the better team. This wasn't one of those series where just Tampa can sit there and go, ah, couple bounces and we're right there. That was all Florida.
It was, and I really liked what they said after the fact. Paul Maurice was talking about how emotional it was to try and slay one of the big dragons in the East. And if you're looking for some perspective, how about Matthew Tkachuk arriving in Florida a couple years ago, maybe still kind of thought as in the NHL, for better or for worse, as a, you know, a backwater outpost. And now Florida is not just the best team in Florida, but they've got an authentic chance to win the Stanley Cup yet again this year. And Tkachuk was saying, just think then, arriving 2 years ago, about what it would be like to be the best team in your state, let alone one of the best teams in the East. You'd have to come a really long way. And so there's been this changing of the guard that's taken place with, you know, Tampa taking a couple steps backwards and Florida surging forward.
You look at the players who've produced the most points in the last three playoffs combined, the only guys with more than Matthew Tkachuk in the points column, it's Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. Matt Tkachuk has been one of the best playoff performers in in the NHL these last couple of years, and he gets a ton of credit for pushing this Panthers team into the second round again. Frank, we'll preview whoever the Panthers end up running into next, so we'll have more talk about them throughout the week, but I want to circle this in or zero in on the Tampa Bay Lightning a little bit. What do you make of this video of Steven Stamkos staying out on the ice extra long after the elimination? Is this smoke? Is this fire? Is this a false alarm?
I don't think this is anything.
Okay.
John Cooper gave his impassioned plea about why Steven Stamkos should be there. I have no doubt that that is an honest opinion and take. I think part of it is, you know, Stamkos was asked, hey, when you get to this spot and your team is down 5-1 or 6-1, do you think about what might be? And he was like, no, I was entirely and solely focused on winning. He's done this dance once before. He interviewed in Toronto. He visited with some other teams. I would say, look, there's a long way between now and July 1st. And just because the Tampa Bay Lightning haven't made an offer yet doesn't mean they won't. And I think when it's all said and done, I know a lot of people have said, oh, this time's different. It's different. I'm not convinced yet that's the case. And I think it makes a lot of sense for Tampa, if they have any hope of being competitive, to bring back Steven Stamkos on a multi-year deal that pays him a respectable amount of money, that gives the Lightning a chance to still add other players around him.
Yeah, and I mean, he's a guy who's obviously made a lot of money in his career. He's gotten to spend his entire career in Tampa Bay, and we know about the tax advantages that come with playing in Florida and all of that stuff. So I still feel like they're going to find common ground somewhere. And I know a lot of people are saying, like, oh, remember Patrice Bergeron stayed on the ice extra long last year for the Bruins, and then he retired. I think that's just totally different. That's a guy who we knew was probably going to hang up the skates. Stamkos, it's a bit of a different situation. So I think I would agree with you. It's maybe being overblown a little bit. We see guys do that at the end of every playoff series, but no doubt an interesting summer ahead for the Bolts as they'll look to, one, keep their captain around, and two, try to find a way to get back to their old dominant ways, which can always be tough with an aging core. Last night out west, Mr. Saravalli, it was the Dallas Stars evening up their series with the Vegas Golden Knights. And for every team, if you're going to go on a deep playoff run wherever you end up, there are going to be little moments that you look back on as like, wow, that was a massive turning point, even if it was, you know, in the first round. I think about Florida last year, turning it around against the Bruins and all those little moments in that series. Feels like that's what we're going to be talking about with Wyatt Johnston's game 3 OT winner. If that puck doesn't go in, I don't know if we're still even talking about a series that's going on right now. This might be elimination part 2 in our show. Instead, what are we doing? It's a 2-2 series going back to Dallas, and it feels like the Stars have grabbed hold of a whole lot of momentum.
They have. On the scoreboard, it would say that the series is tied 2-2, but with the way that these games have played out, I think the Dallas Stars are in the driver's seat. By my estimation, I think they've controlled about 65% of the play, maybe even more than that. They've been the better team through these four games. They didn't have anything to show for it through the first two games and three periods, in fact. But when you look at this team now, and the confidence that the best road team in the NHL has after going and taking two from the Cauldron in Vegas, Dallas is back to being the team that we thought they would be in these playoffs. I think an incredibly difficult team to play against. They have no weaknesses or holes. They can play physical. They can play with pace. They've got high-end skill, and they've got depth. And I think when you take all those things and you smash them together, they're not just incredibly formidable opponent, they are an authentic, true Stanley Cup contending team. And does that mean they're going to win this series? No, Vegas is just as good. And this was last year's Western Conference final matchup for a reason. But to me, the Dallas Stars have taken hold of this series, and it goes without saying that game 5 is going to be pivotal.
Game 5 absolutely will be. Game 4, kind of that swing game, right? You're either down 3-1 or tied up at 2. That was a massive hurdle to clear on the road. And if there's one reason to probably be confident if you're a Stars fan. It's how good, not just how good Jake Oettinger has been in this series, but the fact this turnaround started a month ago. If you go back to the last 30 days of the regular season, he made 11 starts for the Dallas Stars. He was above a 900 in 10 of them. The only game he wasn't, he had an 895 against the Colorado Avalanche, gave up four goals. I think that's, if there's any game on the schedule, you can sit there and be like, ah, giving up four goals, it's a game against the Colorado Avalanche, but he had two shutouts. He was above a 950 in five of those 11 games. Like Jake Oettinger, and then you go into this series, back-to-back 941 save percentages, and down the stretch, Frank, the last 12 to 15 minutes of that hockey game was basically just Dallas chipping it out to center ice and then Vegas coming in and attacking wave after wave. And I know they were sacrificing the body. Rupe Hintz had a big block shot before the empty netter, but without Jake Oettinger, this series again could be over. Like, he's been outstanding.
He's been great, and the numbers aren't going to be eye popping, and that's okay. He's been totally steady and has played certainly well enough to win a series.
Yeah. Let's go out to the series you are covering, Frank. You're back in Vancouver for game four between the Canucks and Predators. And the Canucks are up 3-1 with three different goalies making an appearance in this series. A very rare feat for a team up 3-1. With the injuries they're currently dealing with, is there maybe a little bit of added, maybe not pressure, but motivation, which is a weird word to use this time of year, on the Canucks to get out of this thing, this series, as quick as possible?
Yeah, I would say added incentive.
There you go.
And the incentive is, as JT Miller framed it so eloquently, 8.5 hours less flying. I mean, that's really what they're staring down here, is the ability to not just get additional rest, but also not traverse the continent again, 4.5 hours out to Nashville to play game six on Friday night and wait a couple extra days. They've got an incredible opportunity here. And maybe the best part for the Vancouver Canucks is they haven't played really a good game this series yet, and they still have a 3-1 series lead. Quinn Hughes, his game has been very average. We're used to him controlling play. He made some incredible plays to help put the puck in the net and erase that 2-goal deficit in the last 2 minutes in Nashville in game four. He's been just okay, and his minutes have been down. Certainly raises some questions about whether or not he's fully healthy. Then you have Elias Pettersson, who doesn't have a single shot attempt on in game four, and also looked like someone that's on a milk carton, got jacked up in the Nashville Predators celebration along the wall and didn't really bounce back in a huge significant way for the Canucks. So they've had a lot of things working against them. It's been a low event series, 12 total shots on goal in game three, 13 through two periods in game four. And that's the alarming part for the Preds, is that they're down, staring down the barrel of 3-1. Their season's on the line tonight in a hostile Vancouver environment, and Van hasn't really played well yet. They've got lots of reasons to want to close it out.
Yeah, and then you also look like the NHL won't want to start any round two series until round one is done. So if you're Vancouver, you know if you win, you have home ice in round two, no matter who you play. Dallas and Vegas is guaranteed to go at least six games, so that's a Wednesday, Friday. No one would be surprised if Dallas-Vegas went seven. Like, if you're Vancouver, you're sitting there going, whoa, we could be off and sitting at home and everybody's resting up all the way until potentially next Monday is when I just doing the math, you could see it. Like, that is a big, that would be a big, big boost.
Yeah, I also, I wouldn't be shocked to see the NHL start that series if it's Edmonton, Vancouver on Saturday. Even start it early. You still have broadcast windows to fill. You still have you're not going to want teams sitting around forever. It requires both teams to win in relatively short order. And by the way, there is the goaltending question tonight, and that is who starts in net for the Canucks. Casey DeSmith expected to be an option. Not reporting this as fact, my projected starter for game five, though, would be Artturs Shelovs.
I was going to say, with a 3-1 cushion, as much as there's the incentive to close it off, doesn't make sense to be rushing someone back at this point.
Yeah, I don't think he'd be rushing back. I think he's good to go now. I don't think he was at 100% for game four, but my guess would be Shelov starting and DeSmith backing him up.
Interesting. Very interesting. Vancouver on the verge of punching their ticket to round two. So is Edmonton. Frank, maybe me and you, we can carpool back and forth, split up the driving. It's not bad.
Yeah, I ain't driving that. But here's the thing. Four closeout games tonight. How many of them? I don't want to do the Ask DFO inbox question of the day now, but how many of them end tonight?
Well, let's hope we get a new hashtag Ask DFO inbox question.
I got a new one then. So go ahead, answer this one.
Okay, I think Vancouver closes it off. I think Winnipeg on home ice with the whiteout and that crowd rocking. I think Winnipeg stays alive. I think in a weird, sick, twisted way, Toronto's going to give their fan base hope and come through for them. So I will say to end, Carolina and Vancouver punch their tickets.
I'm going to say all four end tonight.
So tomorrow will be some sort of a D-Day here on DFO Live if four teams get bounced. Frank, let's move on. Let's go to the coaching.
Another D-Day.
Yeah, another D-Day. I was trying to figure out on the fly there. That was a bit too much of a morbid joke to make. By the way, we are going to be joined by Jay Rosehill in 2-3 minutes here to talk about that Leafs-Bruins series. But yes, D-Day, I guess, for Dave Hakstol and his job is he is out, the inaugural coach of the Seattle Kraken, spent 3 years at the helm. They made the playoffs last year. They won a round. But yet Dave Hakstol, after missing the playoffs in his third season, is done. This one, in a way, just because it comes kind of a few weeks after their season ended, Frank, this feels like maybe do they have their eye on like a high-end coaching candidate already? And it's like, all right, they know someone else they like and they want to try jump the market before maybe other teams fire their coaches after the playoffs. Or is there something else that led to this decision?
No, I think there's been some unrest with some of the players who have been frustrated with Dave Hakstol and his approach. I think.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ron Francis is a meticulous guy and takes his time making decisions. And I think the other thing is this also deflects some criticism away from what is a mostly really average roster. And that's the other part of this that's in play. This is a team that had career years at once last season, made the playoffs, knocked off the defending champs, get to the second round, which is more than a lot of teams could ask for. And then only in their second year of existence. And then this year you whack your coach. So there's a lot to unpack. What I would say is, Ron Francis has his work cut out for him trying to take this team from average to really good. And they've got some decent young pieces, but not enough game breakers, in my opinion. And those are really hard to find. And the longer you stay mid, the harder it is going to be to find.
Yeah. Elsewhere, and we can look now at some of the coaching availabilities out there right now. I believe there's 6 spots in the league who are
at
open.
Least.
Yeah, and I mean, hey, listen, you could probably add like Columbus in this with a little asterisk because they sort out the management side of things as well, Frank. But there
Toronto.
Are Toronto could be added to that list as well. There are a lot of openings and more potentially coming, but also a really interesting group of available coaches as well. Could you see any of these sort of 6-7 situations we just talked about looking to try jump in really quick before some other teams get eliminated, like the Leafs, who we know would obviously be an enticing job for a head coach?
Let me throw in two other potential team openings. There's lots of whispers about, will John Cooper be staying in Tampa? Will Julien Brisebois, who has made front office changes before, looking for a joke or a jolt, will he go out and make that coaching change? And then there's lots of speculation today. What's happening with Mike Sullivan in Pittsburgh? My understanding is there's a bit of a power struggle ongoing between Kyle Dubas and Mike Sullivan, in that Kyle Dubas would like to make some changes to the coaching staff and the assistants, and Mike Sullivan has been resistant of that. What does that mean for Sullivan's future in Pittsburgh? Really good question. So you listed six. There could be as many as 10 openings. And when you look at some of the guys that are available, Gav, if you want to throw that board up again quickly, that's the other enticing part, is there's kind of really no shortage of what I believe to be really good coaches. Craig Berube, Todd McClellan, Jay Woodcroft. Can someone convince David Carl to leave Denver? Todd Nelson, AHL Coach of the Year. Jeff Blashill has been on Cooper's bench. Will Joel Quenneville get reinstated? John Gruden appears to be one of the front runners for the Ottawa job. Will someone give chances to Gerard Gallant and Bruce Boudreau again? Dallas Eakins. I mean, there's all sorts of quality candidates that are out there, and no shortage of potential openings now.
Definitely one of the big storylines heading into the summer, and we could get action on that even sooner than that. Let's get to our big segment for the day, Frank. It's the All 32 with our friend Jay Rosehill. The All 32 is powered by Booster Juice. Visit a location today to refuel, refresh, and re-energize, or download their new Booster Rewards app to earn, order, and enjoy. You can order like Frank, Strawberry Sunshine with the Warrior Boost, a great way to kickstart your day or just get you through the day. Shout out to our friends at Booster Juice. Shout out to Jay Rosehill from Leafs Morning Take, the former Toronto Maple Leaf. Rosie, excited to have you on today. Let's talk. Listen, as tough as this might be, I'm going to start with an optimistic Leafs question. What do you want to see from them tonight to keep their season alive? What do they need to do to win?
It's their compete level. It's their buy-in. It's their effort in general. It's their intensity. Like, show me some of that from your big boys. Show me that you're willing to do something difficult in order to get this win is what I'm looking for tonight.
So what's... You hear Ryan Reeves talking, and he's basically said, hey, look, this Boston team, they blew a 3-1 series lead last year. Is it only the compete that can plant the seed of doubt? Like, how does this team find a way to score more goals, Rosie? Because that, to me, is what stands out. 4 games, 7 goals. I don't care who you are. You could be the second coming of the dynasty Montreal Canadiens in the 60s, and if you're not scoring more than 7 goals in 4 games, you ain't got no shot.
Yeah, and that's what leads to scoring goals in the playoffs. You know, I think that's been proven time and time again by this group in particular. You score 1 million goals in the regular season, but it's a little bit different just pulling the bus up to Anaheim's barn on a Tuesday and so-and-so gets his 3 points and, you know, you move on. You go to these, look at Brad Marchand right now. Look at the way he's playing. Look at how his body language is. Look at his facial expressions. Look at his celebrations with his teammates. He is all in, bought in, intense, full buy-in, and it's paying dividends because it's the playoffs. He's got sweat dripping off the end of his nose every bloody shift. He's going as hard as he can. He's getting into the hard areas, and you get rewarded with that with goals. Last game, this group of Toronto Maple Leafs were not willing to even sniff that, and they got smoked because of it, and now they're in this position because of it.
So I'm going to take the opposite side of Tyler here. I know the series isn't over yet, but let's say hypothetically it does end in 5 games. And I give you a magic wand, Rosie, and you get to make one change. What is the first thing you're doing?
Ooh, I thought you'd give me two. I thought you'd give me two and I could jump on that one thing.
You only get to pick one.
I'm torn between, you know, I think Keefe is going to be gone. They need to change that. The whole culture in the room and everything, it's just gotten stale. So I think that's going to happen. But I'm honestly leaning towards, and call it controversial if you want, but I would like to have Mitch Marner exit this team. I would like him to go take his talents elsewhere.
Why is that controversial?
Because people just constantly look at his stats of getting 100 points. Why on earth would you give away a 100-point guy? Well, one, you don't have to give him away. You don't have to ask for the whole farm back, but you could get a lot of, you know, prospects or younger guys or draft picks or a goaltender, lots of different things for Mitch Marner. And the biggest thing, though, is opening up his cap room. I mean, we're tied to Mitch, to Austin Matthews, we're tied to William Nylander, and we're tied to John Tavares. A lot of that for the foreseeable future, and Johnny for next year. So we can't give Mitch Marner more money, or else you're literally running it back. You can't re-sign this guy and run it back and say, well, maybe it'll work on the ninth year or whatever it is. It's not the formula, and he's the one guy that stands out as he's going to want even more money to be one of the highest paid guys in the league. He doesn't seem to have what it takes to get this team over the hump in the playoffs. Go get your 100 points elsewhere and put this team in a better position to fix their problems.
How important is it for them? Like, the Marner stuff has been very well documented. I loved your rant on the post game show the other day. It was absolutely electric. But I wanted to ask you about Austin.
By the way, I agreed with that because I think the declaration is really simple. Is he helping you win in the playoffs or not?
Boom.
Yeah. Exactly. What about Austin Matthews? He's got 3 points in this series, but it all came in one game. I know he's been fighting an illness. He skated today, and they're being kind of vague about his availability for this evening. But still, there's been two of these three games where he's played north of 20 minutes and been held pointless. Has Matthews been fine, but maybe not productive? Or has the cloud of hate that's over Mitch Marner maybe given Austin Matthews a bit of a break in a weird way? Is he getting let off the hook?
I think he's gotten a little bit of a break because, you know, Mitch has taken the spotlight, so to speak. Right now, it's just been such an odd. It's so typically Leafs-like to have this type of a scenario, starting off with William Nylander having this mysterious thing that's taken him out of game 1, 2, and 3 when he hasn't missed a game in like 6, 7 years, something like that. Very odd timing. And now we're finding out that Matthews has something going on that's not food poisoning, that's not the flu, some kind of a virus, or I don't know. I don't want to speculate, but it's wild that this is now coming to light as well. And he hasn't really looked like himself, but yeah, you'd like to see his numbers be better. But I mean, when you have a culture and, you know, accountability is not really high, and, you know, not everyone or basically nobody is doing what, say, Brad Marchand is doing on the other side, it's easy to get sucked in on that. I mean, he's not as good as Austin Matthews is. He's not going to win a series, or certainly not a Stanley Cup by himself.
Yeah, I think that's fair as well. The All 32 powered by BoosterDudes. Rosie, try to enjoy the game tonight, and thanks for doing this.
I will. I'm predicting a win, so I'll enjoy it. Don't worry. Ooh,
optimistic Rosie. There you go. Ask DFO. It's brought to you by our friends over at Douglas Mattress. You can order yours today at douglas.ca/DFO. Every mattress order right now comes with a free comfort sleep bundle, 2 memory foam pillows with pillow protectors, 1 luxurious cotton sheet set, and 1 mattress protector free with every order. Shout out to Rosie, and shout out to JC in the chat, who gives him some props for not using any F-bombs in that appearance. So a big, big dub for Jay Rosehill there. Frank, you're tasked with giving me a #AskDFO.
Yeah, so the Calder Trophy announcement was this morning. The 3 finalists this year are Connor Bedard from the Blackhawks, Luke Hughes from the New Jersey Devils, and of course, Brock Faber from the Minnesota Wild. So Tyler, if I gave you a ballot a couple weeks ago and I had you write in your number one choice for the Calder, who would it have been?
It's Connor Bedard. I know the games played argument could kind of work against him in this, but I'm going back to Connor McDavid's year and other years in the past. And I mean, the ones I can remember, obviously Oilers ones, like Nugent Hopkins not winning it over Landeskog because of a games played thing.
I don't think that should be a factor. I think Connor Bedard, when he was on the ice, was the best rookie in the NHL. And if he missed 20 games, he missed 20 games. I just don't care. So for me, it's Bedard without a doubt at number one. And I think I would probably have both Faber and Hughes right behind him. Although Marco Rossi in Minnesota, I feel like deserved a little bit of love too.
Yeah, I gave a vote to Pyotr Kochetkov as well. Most people forget that he's a rookie. He was one game under the threshold, and so he still counts. I went with Bedard, but I could see the argument for Faber with the minutes he played, with the points that he produced, with people looking at Bedard saying, but he was a minus 44. My answer to that is he had zero help around him in Chicago. Teams game planned against him. And he was the only guy you needed to worry about. Imagine if he had some help around him, how many points would he have had? He was still at 0.9 points per game, even with the injury.
Yeah. Another question that I always like to do, and just because I'm looking at the top 10 in rookie scoring this year, is who's the most underrated rookie? Everybody knows Connor Bedard was going to come in and be good. Brock Faber, I guess, was a bit of a surprise. But how about a guy like Connor Zary in Calgary? If you were giving out a under the radar rookie of the year, like he only played in 60 some games. He had, you know, hit the mid 30s, 34 points on the year. Not a ton of offense down there in Calgary. I liked what I saw.
Not my choice. My choice would be an Edmonton native, Dylan Gunther.
He's real good, man. He's
35 points in 45 games, 18 goals. Dylan Gunther's the guy.
That is a fantastic pick. I covered Dylan Gunther back with the Edmonton Oil Kings. He was electric then. I think he's going to be electric in the NHL for a long time for Utah. Let's move along to our daily bets, Frank. They are powered by Bet365, the largest sports betting platform globally. Open an account and use the promo code Daily365 to get in on a huge range of markets. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. I'm going over tonight between the Leafs and the Bruins. Couple reasons why I like this. I think Toronto Stars are going to have a good effort. I think there's a little bit of maybe them knowing this is their last chance as a group. I think we'll get the best from the Leafs Stars. And if that doesn't work, the other thing I like in these elimination games, and we saw it in Tampa Bay, Florida, you get ultra aggressive goalie pulls. If this game is 4-1 late in the game, Toronto's pulling their goalie and there's going to be a goal either way. So I like going with the over between the Leafs and Bruins. And I also have a shot prop parlay. Max Domi has hit this in every game except one so far in this series. Miles Wood has hit it in every game for the Colorado Avalanche. Both the numbers set at 1.5. So they just need two shots for this one to cash. Plus 144 is juicy enough. So Domi and Wood on the old shot prop parlay. Frank, is there one result tonight that you would be the most confident in betting on?
Yeah, that would be the Canes over the Islanders.
Yeah, on home ice. I feel like even puck line is probably a decent play in that one. So yeah, four elimination games tonight on tap in the NHL. Shout out to our friends at Bet365. Going to wrap up the show with a little bit of garbage time, Frank, and it is brought to you by Wendy's. It takes hard work and determination to bring home the cup. Luckily, all you need to do to bring home some Wendy's is the Rewards app. And instead of victory, you'll be getting good food. Download the Wendy's app today and check out all the bonuses that come along with it. Frank, for garbage time today, I wanted to give some love to TJ Oshie, who had a really open and honest end of season press conference. He said, quote, "I'd love to play next year, but I'll need to come back with somewhat of a guarantee that my back won't be." It's hard putting everyone through the situation. Oshie talked about how, you know, there's moments where he can't even get up off the floor, can't pick up his kids. You feel for him because he obviously wants to keep playing hockey, but you hate to see a career potentially end because of injuries. And I just like the openness here from Oshie.
I do too. No surprise, given that it's coming from TJ Oshie, just salt of the earth. And what I would say is it kind of gives you shades of Nicklas Backstrom 1 year ago, right? Like you heard in the press conference then from Brian McClellan, "I don't know how this guy's going to do it." And then he pushed and pushed and pushed all summer, came back at the beginning of the season, and then had to call it quits. And the tough part about that situation for the Capitals then was that had they known that Backstrom wouldn't play, they could have went out and spent that money. But once you start the season, then going to LTIR, it's a lot harder to acquire a meaningful piece. And so if Oshie isn't going to be able to play next year, then at least give the Caps some kind of notice so that they can go and build their team. I think that's the best way to do it. And not all that dissimilar to Pittsburgh, Tampa, Washington, part of these, you know, end of season machinations makes you wonder, end of an era. Is what we saw from Alex Ovechkin the other day the last playoff game that he plays? Is this Tampa core, as we know it, the last time we see it assembled? All really tough questions to ask at this time of year, but also really natural.
Yeah. All right, that is a wrap on today's show. The YouTube chat, you guys were absolutely rocking. Big shout out to Jay Rosehill for swinging by. Like we said a couple of times already, 4 elimination games on tap tonight. Enjoy those games, hockey fans, and we'll be right back here at noon Eastern tomorrow to break them all down. Chat with you then.
Thanks for tuning in to Daily Faceoff Live. Make sure you hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with 4 questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh Nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.